heavyweight boxer. I probably gave a little bit of a spoiler before the break here, and I said I wasn't going to, you know, be. I was aiming to not drop any spoilers before Walter voted, but you know, this again, I'm not giving too much away to say that this one's probably a landslide. So, you know, vote your conscience, Walter. It won't much matter anyway. This one's going to be settled. So, one vote on this one for you. Who would you take for best heavyweight boxer of all time?
Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Well,
I want to take Mike Tyson, but
well,
I don't know.
Muhammad Ali ends up being the landslide winner in these ones here, and I'll just do it that way as opposed to I'm normally building up to whoever wins it, but the real story of the category is Muhammad Ali. Out of 35 potential voters, including Walter here tonight, casting his votes live as we go, again, not everybody voted in this category. There were a handful of people. There was 5 blank ballots in this one. So 30 votes. 22 of the 30 going to Muhammad Ali. I mean, he becomes only the second winner ever, and we're going to have another one in another category later on, second winner ever over 50% in a category. He was over two-thirds in this category. 22 of the 30 ballots cast, 22 of 35 potential ones. We'll just work our way backwards on this one here as far as multiple ones. You mentioned Mike Tyson. Walter, he got 3 votes. There were 2 votes for Joe Frazier. And then guys who got 1 vote apiece, I being the history snob, as I said, I went for Joe Louis. I voted for him. I kind of researched and looked into it a couple different ways, ultimately gave Joe Louis the nod. Other guys who got 1 vote, George Foreman got a vote based on the longevity factor. Lennox Lewis somehow or another got a vote. And actually, that was it. We had probably less boxers getting votes in this category than any other category. It was the last category had all the diversity. This one had none of it. They were like mirror, you know, polar opposites to one another, Walter. This is Muhammad Ali in a landslide. Talk about your reasoning on that, why you give it to him.
The reason I give it to Muhammad Ali, because just things that people talk about and, you know, things you read about him. And I actually watched a couple of his fights on ESPN Classic. And it's just like, I haven't seen a heavyweight move like that. But the reason I was torn between him and Mike Tyson is I don't believe that it would be an easy battle for Muhammad Ali up against Mike Tyson in his prime, you know, his first 20 fights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Muhammad Ali would have handled that pretty well because Mike Tyson was a beast in the beginning of his career. So I don't. That's where I get, you know, kind of fuzzy, but just watching what he did and how he moved, I would have to give it to Muhammad Ali.
You know what? And we talked about this before. We're going to talk about this probably the whole time here, as far as judges and interpretation and everything like that. With Ali versus Tyson, it's the criteria you're going with. If you're looking at body of work, which is what I used to ultimately go with Joe Louis, but Muhammad Ali wouldn't have been far behind on my ballot. I'm a body of work guy. I'm going to look at that. That's going to be the one. If you're looking at prime, if you're looking at best years, I defy anybody to go against Mike Tyson.
that's why I was torn, because you can't say in Mike Tyson's prime that anybody could beat him.
No.
So, and the same with Michael Jordan. I really can't say in his prime that anybody could really beat him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, really tough. And Tyson, too, and I remember because I was so hyped up for – and it's funny, too, because I think it was just that nostalgia. After Tyson got out of the can, we wanted to believe it could go back to the way that it used to be, you know, as far as – That fight that he would have had with Holyfield, you know, in 91 or 92 would have just been so epic. But we wanted to believe, you know, that the fights in 96 and 97 could be on that level. And then even Lennox Lewis, there was just that dying ember of hope in 2002 that could really be something. And my dominant memory of that is Lennox Lewis in his patented boring style, just keeping him at bay with the jab and just, you know, being able to basically punish him by jabbing him to death every time he tried to come in. I just couldn't help but think, you know what, the Mike Tyson in his prime would have found a way to get inside and then just reduce him to, you know, something you would see in a blender, you know?
But, and the sad thing about it is Mike Tyson just recently, a few years ago, he could draw, you know? And it's all about what he's all about. And you want to see him fight no matter who it is. He can't do it anymore, but a few years back, you could be like, okay, Mike Tyson's here. I'm going to pay for this fight. Because we just want to see greatness once again.
Yep. And now not even the freak show factor would draw. That's the final stage here. You know, when even the freak show factor doesn't draw, you know, then it really is the end of the line. All right, so we hoist our Dundee Award, our most dominant recipient yet in terms of vote percentages. Muhammad Ali is our third nominee, our third inductee into the night, into the Pantheon for the best heavyweight boxer of all time. Similar to how we did baseball in the first Pantheon episode back in 2008, we're breaking it as we broke baseball into hitter and pitcher. So we do it with boxing, with heavyweight and non-heavyweight boxers, because that's always really been the story of boxing here. And the heavyweights have had to carry it in terms of the interest, but some of the best fighters have come out of the non-heavyweight ranks, the welterweights, and you know, perhaps even as high as the light heavyweights, but the middleweights. And there have just been some classics over time here. So this was a very interesting one in terms of the breakdown on the votes here. So as not to spoil you on this, Walter, you can cast your vote spoiler-free here. Who do you like for best non-heavyweight boxer of all time?
I'm going to have to go with recent.
Okay.
And Floyd Mayweather.
All right.
And he can go in that unappreciated category, too. And the reason why is because he talks so much trash, a lot of people don't like him. But when he gets in the ring, it's all business. I mean, he beats people handily. He just shows how much better he is than the other boxers. And that's what I like about Floyd Mayweather, and he's undefeated.
So I got to think that somehow or another, if the mega fight comes about, you are not part of Team Pac-Man then.
I don't see anybody beating him. I want to see, cuz the thing is, he talks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Most people that talk a lot can't back it up, but he talks a lot, he works hard, and you can tell that he's a student of boxing. He's not just talking about it and this, that, and the other. When he gets in that ring, it's all business, and he makes good boxers look like they don't even belong in boxing.
He's had an unbelievable career thus far, and he's really risen up through the ranks as well. He started in the ballpark like 131 or so, didn't he? And now he's into the high 140s.
Yeah,
you know, that's got to be tough too. You know, transforming your body, and you know, to those of us who are well north of that, it might not seem like that much, but you know, percentage of body weight. I mean, if you think about it. If you're a buck 31, 13 pounds is 10% of you. So he's managed to gain 10 additional percent of himself and then some, and keep dominating and thriving and everything like that. I mean, he makes a strong case for himself in that regard alone.
Yeah, and but a lot of people, yeah, they're just like, well, Floyd Mayweather, whatever, he's going to get beat this time, and he proves them wrong every time.
Well, in this category, this one is very, very interesting as far as who gained the votes here in this one. Guys who got one vote apiece in this category, there was one vote for, I have to take my hat off to Mike Petak, our good buddy, Aaron Pryor. He went old school for this one here. Aaron Pryor gets a vote in this category. Manny Pacquiao gets a vote. There were two votes for Oscar De La Hoya, but one guy cast a vote and said, our buddy Mike Villey, Oscar De La Hoya in his prime. So whenever anybody makes a specific notation, I always break that out separately. One for Oscar De La Hoya, one for Oscar De La Hoya in his prime. And I believe that was it for the guys with one vote. No, Sugar Shane Mosley got one vote. Here are the guys who got two votes as we start to build our way up to the winner. Two votes for... And these first two guys, it's funny. You can see, once again, the Ohio influence in the voting. Two votes for Kelly Pavlik, and two votes for Ray Boom Boom Mancini. So nice to see a couple of homers in the mix here. You know, two votes for Sugar Ray Robinson. I, being the aforementioned history snob, cast a vote for Sugar Ray Robinson, the original. And there was another vote for him as well in the mix here. So these are the guys with two votes apiece. Sugar Ray Robinson, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Kelly Pavlik. With three votes, and so this is third place here tonight, three votes, third place goes to Marvin Hagler, who had an excellent career largely back in the 1980s here. Second place with six votes goes to your guy, Floyd Mayweather, Walter. Our winner tonight, our inductee into the Pantheon for the best non-heavyweight boxer of all time, we raised the Dundee Award to Sugar Ray Leonard with nine votes in this thing.
I knew it was going.
Yeah.
I was gonna vote him, but the only reason I voted Floyd Mayweather, he was undefeated.
You know, and I was, I can kind of understand it. I kind of got caught up in it, too. I mean, when I was a kid, I had the Sugar Ray Leonard boxing gloves and stuff, but it was, you know, when I just looked, again, similar to Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, when I looked back in the history books, I thought the guy who was the original basically racked up a slightly better record, but I get it with Sugar Ray. The thing is, it would really, really, really grind the molars of Marvin Hagler to know that Sugar Ray Leonard got three times as many votes as he did, 9-3, especially since Marvin Hagler, I think to this day, will tell you that Sugar Ray stole the fight by punching him in the arms and everything like that. Yeah, at least he's not bitter about it, huh? But our winner is Sugar Ray Leonard. The last one we'll do before the top of the hour break here. This one is really, really interesting. You have a pretty decent chance to cause a tie in this category, Walter, depending on how it goes. This one's kind of jammed up with a couple of guys who are within a vote of one another. Best MMA competitor. Do you have an opinion for this category?
Yeah, I do, but it's going to be, I know, it's not going to break
okay.
The tie or anything.
Who do you think it's going to... all right.
Kimbo Slice.
Surprisingly, there was one other vote for Kimbo, so there's two. You're right. You're right. That's not a tie for the title here in this category. All right. This is one where, as we go through, there are a couple of different ones here. This one's kind of hard to track here as far as the different votes in here because of the way this one's jammed up. There was one vote in this category for, as we go through, and there were a couple of, as I say, joke votes cast through the course of the night here. One guy cast a vote for pro wrestler Lisa Marie in TNA. Now, she has dabbled and done some mixed martial arts stuff herself. So Lisa Marie has actually competed in MMA, but she's not primarily known for that. There was one vote for, you talk about going old school, we had a vote for Bruce Lee here tonight. We had a vote for, who else got one? Oh, talk about old school, not only Bruce Lee, we had a vote for Chuck Norris. So a couple people were going really, really old school in this category. It really kind of made you think. As far as old school in MMA as we know it, I'm glad this is another one. I'm glad somebody voted for this guy because he did have a lot to do with the evolution of it and it coming into the being as it is today. Royce Gracie getting a vote as well. We start to get now to the guys who had two votes. There was Walter voted for Kimbo Slice, and there was an additional vote. Our good buddy Sean Trench voted for Kimbo Slice as well. So he got two votes here tonight. Somehow or another, Tito Ortiz got two votes as well. There were two votes. Jason and Samantha Jones both voting for Rampage Jackson, largely on the strength of his appearance in the A-Team movie as B.A. Baracus, I'm afraid. But Rampage Jackson getting two votes. And as I look at this here, Anderson Silva got two votes as well. And then, as I say, this is a tough one to track. Oh, and there were two joke votes. There was a joke vote also. Or two joke votes, I'm sorry. And again, it's not a very original joke if two people think of it. There were two votes cast for Herschel Walker in this category. So, once again, not a very original joke if two people think of it, Walter.
Hopefully, you know, Herschel Walker can be one of the greatest MMA fighters of our time.
Yeah, yeah, or at least outpace Kimbo Slice.
Because he wasn't one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Yeah, part of one of the greatest rip-off trades of all time. Greatest rape trade of all time. I'm afraid he'd be in the Pantheon for that. Oh, one vote for Brock Lesnar also. I apologize for not seeing him when I was going through the one vote, guys. So I think I've read off all the guys with one or two votes. Okay, now we start to build. Now it gets interesting. Three votes apiece for Fedor Emelianenko, and I would have voted for him had he spent any appreciable time whatsoever with UFC, had he had the body of work basically to be able to back it up. But I think Fedor could probably beat just about any heavyweight, but we have yet to see that proven. I just couldn't personally vote for him until that happens. Three votes for Randy Couture based on his career that he had. The votes that came in for him were relatively late in the game. It's interesting. I always like to track here. This spreadsheet that I've got tracks things chronologically, and it's always interesting to see when votes come in. And like halfway through, he didn't even have votes yet. And then they started coming in late. Not good enough for him. We had one vote late, two votes early for the guy that I voted for. I voted for GSP in this category. I thought George St. Pierre, based on everything that he had done in recent years in UFC, had maybe earned that best of all time status. He comes up short as well. Fedor, GSP, Randy Couture coming up short at three votes. Our winner, our inductee into the FDH Lounge Pantheon, we hoist the Dundee Award for Chuck Liddell with four votes tonight. And a friend of mine told me to quote the great turtle line from Entourage, "What's a Chuck Liddell?" But Chuck Liddell ends up being the winner here tonight in this category. And it was really, really, really interesting. He got that late vote here to pull away from the pack, but there were three guys with just one vote back of them. The funny thing is our good buddy Nate Noy, who we may be hearing from in an hour or two, he almost voted for GSP, but instead he voted for Fedor. That gave Fedor, that created the three-way tie at three votes here. He votes for GSP instead, and all of a sudden we're in a tie at this point. So Chuck Liddell ends up becoming the next winner, the next inductee into the Pantheon, the best single sporting event or game of all time. As I said at the top of the show here, we're getting Walter's votes as we go. I will say this again. You can't cause a tie for first place in this one. We have a landslide winner for first place, but let's get your vote anyways. Every vote should be tallied from everybody with an opinion among our voters here. So, Walter, what would you deem to be the best sporting event or game of all time?
Now, I would have to go off of games that I have seen.
Okay.
So I'm not going to, you know, go history. And I would say the game that LeBron took over in Detroit.
Okay.
The 48 points to just show Detroit we're here and we're here to stay. And basically tearing that dynasty up. After that, Detroit was never the same. So that would be the single game, best single game ever for us Clevelanders.
Well, you know what? It's really funny that you choose that one, and that's one where that was on a Thursday night, which I used to do the FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider on a Thursday night, and I was here with Jason Jones before he moved. So he and I were here. We stuck around after the game watching it, and I'll just never forget what it was like being down here watching it in this very studio, and it was just amazing. I will tell you, out of that was the only vote that one got. However, Jason's vote was for the next game, which he and his wife watched at my place, the Game 6, the Boobie Gibson game with 31 points to beat Detroit and make it to the NBA Finals for the only time in team history. So two votes from that same series, Walter, but for different games. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, and we're going to have more games like that this year. I think we're going to have our best game ever. It's going to be this year.
I do believe that. I do believe that as a fellow Cavs fan. You know, I think that the best is still to come. And with the we talked about at the top of the show when the news broke with the Anton Jameson news, everything kind of ties back into that. So very, very possible. This one got a whole host of different votes, but then there was one game that got nine votes. One game got three votes, one game got two votes, and then everything else was one vote apiece. Here's what we got. Paul Belfi voted for NBA Finals Game 6, 1993, one of the big ones on the Michael Jordan highlight reel against Phoenix. One vote for Super Bowl 42 from Buck Woodward, Giants homer extraordinaire. One vote from a Clevelander for the 1964 NFL championship game. One vote for Super Bowl 36, which was the Patriots-Panthers game from earlier in the decade. That was a really good game with a good ending. One vote for the 2003 Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State and Miami, the epic game down in the desert there. One vote from our good buddy Russ Cohen, who grew up a big Mets fan, for the Bill Buckner game in 1986 in the World Series, World Series Game 6, 1986. One vote from our entertainment editor, Samantha Jones, just generically for the NBA championship game. I don't know if she meant a specific Game 7, specific deciding game, whatever. She never clarified that, so that one's just kind of generic. One vote from our good buddy Lloyd Carroll, New York area sports writer for the Queens Chronicle and writer for some other publications as well. The Dolphins-Chiefs 1971 epic playoff game. Lloyd going old school on us here tonight. One vote for the 1988 World Series for best single sporting game or event. That was kind of interesting. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. One vote for Super Bowl 34, the Rams-Titans game with the finish, the lunging for the goal line finish that it had. One vote, nice to see my sister-in-law, the domer, not being a homer here, Notre Dame, Florida State, 1993. That was her when she was in college, no less. So way to stretch the boundaries there, Kendra, on voting for something outside of your own experience.
Those Notre Dame days are over.
Yeah, I think she voted for like the last big-time moment they ever really had. This is probably our most recent vote. The UConn-Syracuse 6 overtime game from last spring, which I believe was in the Big East tournament. So one game for that one, or one vote for that one. One vote for 1998 NBA Finals Game 6, somebody else voting for a big Michael Jordan game. One vote for, and on a sentimental level, I really love this one, Red Wings-Blues playoff game, May 16th, 1996, Game 7 of, I believe it was, the Western Conference. It was either the quarters or I want to say it was the semifinals. Steve Yzerman, breakaway, top shelf, game winner, the one that you see on all the Steve Yzerman highlight reels. So since he's my favorite athlete of all time, I got to love that one. One vote for the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics as a whole. One vote for Super Bowl 43, very recent in our memory, just a little over a year ago. Two generic votes here. They came back to back. One vote for Wimbledon and one vote for tennis. I asked, do you guys have a preference or anything? And I might have thought they might have gone for the Federer-Nadal thing of 2008, the Wimbledon final, but these guys didn't clarify it. One guy just said Wimbledon, one guy just said tennis. One vote, as Walter cast it, for Cavs-Pistons Eastern Conference Finals Game 5, and as we said, Jason Jones voted for Game 6, both from 2007. Games that got two votes. The Kirk Gibson game in the World Series Game 1, 1988. Now, I mentioned that somebody voted for the 1988 World Series as a whole, but there were two additional votes for Game 1 of that series, so I'm taking them as separately. There were two votes also, as I look at this, two votes for Super Bowl 3. There was one that got nine votes here tonight on this. Winner in a landslide. It's one that I voted for as well. Any guesses on what that one might be, Walter?
I don't know.
Okay. Miracle on Ice. I voted for that. A lot of people did. That was the big sentimental favorite. I remember being a tiny little kid perched in front of the TV watching it. For whatever reason, my grandparents were babysitting me that night. I don't know if my parents had their bowling league or whatever it was. I remember I was at Grandma and Grandpa's watching that on there. They had a big TV on the floor, which was like the model of the day. But, you know, I actually watched it. I'm not sure that every one of the nine people who cast a vote. Actually, I'm looking at this. You know what? Most of the ones who did cast a vote would have been old enough, although not everybody. I'm looking at this here. Actually, no, I take that back. Those of us that were old enough cast ballots for that one. I don't think there's anybody that wasn't. And I don't think that. I mean, that clearly was before your time, Walter. So, I mean, all I can say is you had to be there. you had to be there. I don't think there's any way that anybody could relate to it as much if you weren't there. It's just one of the, if you weren't there, it's just not going to be the same. So, an unbelievable moment. I mean, even as a small kid, I knew how unlikely that was, you know, and just so overwhelmingly unlikely. And I love the Olympic hockey tournament. I love it with the pros now. I think it's one of the greatest events in all of sports, but we'll never see a moment like we saw then. So, very happy that the Miracle on Ice wins, particularly Miracle on Ice going into the Pantheon for Best Single Sporting Game or Event as we hoist the Dundee Award. I voted for Miracle for Best Sports Movie last time around, Walter, and it didn't make it. So in a way, it makes it here tonight. The Miracle on Ice event itself, game itself, makes it. So that is our sixth one here that we award. Best Sports GM or Executive. This is another one that was all over the place, Walter. This was really, really, really wide open, past, present. This is another one where you're going to shake your head when you hear the variety of different people that got votes in this one here. So as we look at this, who would you say for Best Sports GM or Executive?
I would have to say Jerry Buss.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the Lakers have been great. And you got to think of every decade, they've been great. So then the 80s, the 90s, the 70s, the 2000s, I mean, they've been great and consistently. But you can't – the Rooneys, I don't know, I mean – it's kind of hard. I'm going to pick Jerry Buss, though. I'm going to pick Jerry Buss.
That's really interesting. And the funny thing is we got we didn't get many votes for owners, but the previous vote that we got, the second last vote that was cast in this thing, was also for an owner. That's a very interesting one about being the common thread. The other owner who got a single vote in this, and Jerry Buss got just your one vote, there was one vote cast for Jerry Jones. That was the previous one that we got, for much the same reason, that the Cowboys have had at least some level of success over the period of time that he has owned the team here. As we look at the other ones now, Jerry West, interestingly enough, Paul Belfi voted for Jerry West, focusing on his tenure as the general manager of the Lakers. So he was looking at Lakers success, but looking at it from a slightly different perspective in that way. Anybody else that got one vote in this? I voted for Pat Gillick in baseball because he's done it a number of different places. He did it in Seattle and Toronto, most recently in Philly when they won the World Series. Pat Gillick has been a guy who's moved to different places and had success in different areas. Buck Woodward from Pro Wrestling Insider, being the Giants honk that he is, he voted for anyone except Jerry Jones. That was his vote. One vote for Branch Rickey. One vote for Bill Veeck. So we had back-to-back old-school votes. And then to the newest of the new school, Larry Beinfest, present general manager of the Florida Marlins, gets a vote right after Bill Veeck. So there's some whiplash from old school to new school. One vote for Bill Walsh, one for Ozzie Newsome, one for John Schuerholz, based on what he did as general manager in Atlanta and I believe also in Kansas City. One for Red Auerbach, one for Tony Ragans for the job he's done in recent years in SoCal with the Angels. One vote for Ron Wolf, one for Tommy Lasorda, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was more of a front office figurehead than anything else, but he got a vote. One joke vote that was cast for George Kokinas. One that was cast for Al Davis, but the guy who voted for Al Davis should have qualified it and said Al Davis pre-1984, because if you look at the whole body of work, it's certainly been cheapened by what we've seen here in the last two decades plus. One vote for George Steinbrenner. One for Wellington Mara, and one vote for Paul Brown, who also won for best coach previously. Last time we did this, he won for best pro coach of all time. He gets a vote tonight for best executive as well, which he also was. All right, so that's everybody that got one vote. We look at the ones that got two votes. There are three guys that got two votes, and it kind of runs the spectrum here. Two guys from the New York metro area, modern day. Lou Lamoriello, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, and he was on my short list, and I hate to say that. I hate to give any credit whatsoever because I hate the Devils, but Lou Lamoriello has done a great job over time. Two votes for Brian Cashman, actually, who, you know, he could have maybe also won if we'd had an underappreciated executive thing here because he's really in the shadow of Steinbrenner, and everybody thinks that Brian Cashman's nothing but a checkbook, but he's done a good job with the composition of that team as well. He got two votes, and two votes, this one's really interesting, for R.C. Buford. Now, you can't quibble with San Antonio's success, but to me, that's almost like saying that the greatest general manager of all time would be, or executive of all time would be, Scott Pioli for what he did in New England. Because to me, Belichick and Popovich are kind of the same thing, coach slash executive. But R.C. Buford did get two votes. 4 votes, and we hoist the Dundee Award for our winner for best sports GM or executive of all time, Bill Polian, based on what he did in Buffalo and more recently in Indianapolis, and 6 Super Bowls, only 1-5 in Super Bowls with his teams in those years, by the way. But Bill Polian has gotten the job done in both places and been on an elite level. He doubles the next closest 3 guys who had 2 votes apiece. He has 4 votes. So as far as it goes, Walter, on either Bill Polian or R.C. Buford, those are the ones that really kind of jump out at me. Do you have any thoughts on either of those two guys?
Not really.
Okay. All right, the voting kind of speaks for itself on those ones here. Bill Polian ends up being the winner. Best sports stadium or arena of all time. This is another one where your vote, I will say going into this, it's unlikely to cause a tie in this category. Actually, it's mathematically impossible because the winner's got a margin of a few different ones. This is going to be another one where it's going to be fun with the variety of it here. All the different votes that got cast in this one. Could go present day, old day, stadium, arena, whatever the case may be. Maybe it was apples and oranges the way we were doing it here with stadiums and arenas in here, but the variety in this one's fun. So on yours, Walter, what would your preference be for best sports stadium or arena of all time?
Now I have to go just like where I have been.
Okay.
And from the places I have been to watch football and basketball and all of those things, I would pick Lakewood Stadium.
Okay.
Because when that St. Ed's and St. Ignatius game happens, I mean, there's no other high school atmosphere like that in this area.
Interesting. We haven't had anything that had been – I'm looking at the other ones here. There's nothing that was picked that was primarily known for high school football or anything like that. I'm looking at all the other ones. Just about every other one here has seen pro events of some sort. Very interesting. Very good variety that you just added with your vote here. Clearly, by me saying that, it's the only one that was cast for that. Here are the other ones that got one vote in this category from our list of voters. There was one vote for, can't really believe this one, talk about being a homer, Buck Woodward going for Giants Stadium. What the hell is so special about the Meadowlands? But, you know, he votes for Giants Stadium, whatever. One vote for Nationwide Arena, which I have to say is a beautiful facility. I've been there, watched my beloved Detroit Red Wings play there. Nationwide is really just amazing. And it won. There was a survey a couple of years ago of the greatest ones, I believe Sporting News did it. Greatest ones in the Big Four professional sports, and Nationwide Arena won. And a lot of people thought it was a big upset, but it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. One vote for Old Cleveland Stadium, which was highly underrated, which I love to death. I love Old Cleveland Stadium more than just about anything else they've got up these days, especially in Cleveland. Actually, I'm sorry, 2 votes for Old Cleveland Stadium. One vote for Quicken Loans Arena, believe it or not. From Quicken Loans Arena to the real old school, Connie Mack Stadium, which has probably been torn down for about the last 50 years in Philadelphia. But one vote for that. One vote for PNC Park in Pittsburgh. I have to echo that and say PNC Park is beautiful. Great place to watch a ball game, no question about it. One vote for Progressive Field, which my only thought on that, I would kind of gently kind of joke about that and say 1994 wants its opinion back, but Progressive Field gets a vote for it was special one time, Walter, but I don't know. You know, that's just my that's the beauty of it. That's you know, my friend Bob Benick's opinion, and that's my opinion. And I don't agree. One vote for the Beijing Olympic Bird's Nest Stadium, if you remember that from the Olympic Stadium, the Bird's Nest. I told you it was eclectic, Walter. I told you these are all over the place. One tie vote for Cowboys Stadium, Wrigley Field, and Madison Square Garden, all of whom ended up getting more than one vote, by the way. Talk about old school. This was akin to the first time around when we did for greatest musical performer of all time, and I believe one of the guys voted for Beethoven. There was one vote for the Colosseum in Rome as the greatest sports stadium or arena of all time. Hard to argue with that one. One vote for Safeco Field in Seattle, which looks like one of the best ballparks that I've never been to. I'd love to get to that one sometime. One vote for Yankee Stadium. I'm assuming it's for the classic Yankee Stadium as opposed to the present one. One vote for Boston Garden, the old classic there. Hard to argue with that one. Along the same lines, one vote for the late lamented Tiger Stadium. Staying in Detroit, one vote for Ford Field. One vote for, I'm very glad Kyle O'Rourke, my co-host on the Goon Squad, voted for Lambeau Field. We need to have that one represented in the mix here. So Lambeau Field is one that got a vote, and Lakewood Stadium as well. By the way, our we got a note here from senior producer Steve Cervillo sending a note. FDH senior producer, the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Cervillo checking in. Here's what he has to say via instant message. He's, quote, "So Walter Payton has never been to Soldier Field," end quote. Oh, very nice. We could count on nothing less from Steve. All right, two votes went to Old Cleveland Stadium, and I'm looking to see if there was anything else with two. I think that was it. All right, then we start to move into the other ones here. There were three votes for Fenway Park. 3 1/3 votes based on the earlier tiebreaker for Madison Square Garden and Cowboys Stadium. And here's what's interesting. I love tracking the chronology on this. The Cowboys Stadium votes all came in the last 10 that I received. So whether the All-Star game on Sunday had anything to do with swaying opinions, I don't know, but my guess is that it did. My guess is one more time seeing Cowboys Stadium on a national stage shook loose these votes. I think it's not a coincidence that's when the votes came in for it. They were all late votes. 3 1/3 votes cast for Madison Square Garden. Your winner with 6 1/3 votes. We hoist the Dundee Award for the best sports stadium or arena of all time, the one that I voted for. I actually voted for a winner this time. Wrigley Field in Chicago wins it for best sports stadium or arena of all time. I've only ever been there once. I was behind home plate. I wasn't in the bleachers, but I can't complain. It was when the Sox were playing the Cubs in one of the crosstown games, and it was just really tremendous to get to watch a game there. And that place is really just, you know, it's everything it was cracked up to be. It didn't disappoint me at all, the atmosphere of that place. The only thing that's kind of jarring, I always love sites where when you look around, like you could be looking at something and it's the same way it was 50 years ago. It's one of the reasons I love the Imperial out in Las Vegas there. I don't love to stay there anymore, God knows. But I love to go there, gamble there, hang out there. It's fun. You could be looking in one direction and it looks the same as it did 50 years ago. Wrigley Field's like the same way, except then you kind of glance up and you see the Cubs.com thing, you know, signs hanging down. It's like, oh yeah, I don't think that was there in 1953. You know, that kind of just blows the moment, you know. You could feel like you're lost in time until you see those Cubs.com signs, and that kind of like jars you back to the present day. But Wrigley Field, with 6 1/3 votes, ends up being your winner. Probably not a tremendous surprise. Wrigley Field wins this one.